Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. And what a first round we had on Thursday night. Offensive players were taken with the first 14 picks of the draft. 10 of them were fantasy relevant skill position guys, just a wild flurry at the top, followed by a bunch of defensive players and offensive linemen in sort of the middle stage of the first round, which gave me a chance to catch my breath before we had a few more receivers go late in the round. But I was doing my usual round one column with takeaways and early 2024 projections. I had, you know, whose stock was moving up or down based on each pick. I also added a little section this year, just giving you instant redraft rankings, dynasty startup values, and dynasty rookie values for those rookies that were coming in. And I think that's useful. I know some people have their rookie drafts starting up right away here. Some of them start after the first round. A lot of them start over the weekend. I'll be in a few of those myself. So thought that would be helpful for everyone. Now on today's show, I'm going to go over all those meaningful picks and give you my thoughts. Before we get to that though, just a reminder, I will have another reaction post today after round two and round three. I'll also be doing a full update to all my rankings, all those trade value charts. Once the draft ends, I will get into that and we will update everything. So likely the Dynasty rookie rankings, those will come out on Sunday. Dynasty trade values for all the veterans, that'll be on Monday. And then the 2024 redraft rankings will go up on Tuesday. That's assuming that everything goes to plan. But for today, let's go back over this first round and sort through all 14 of those fantasy assets that got picked on night one. And we can start with the pick that everybody knew was coming, Caleb Williams going first overall to the Bears. And we can thank that very smart, forward-thinking trade that they made with the Panthers last season to secure that first pick and hopefully get a true franchise quarterback in Williams. And that's exactly what I think he is. I've talked about it on the show before. I think Williams is going to be a star, and we don't know that these first round quarterbacks and the guys that go first overall, we don't know that they're going to be a sure thing, but Williams is as close to that as I think it comes. Just an elite prospect, an extremely high ceiling, and unlike most rookie passers, he's going to step into this offense that has a ton of firepower for him. You have DJ Moore. They go out and trade for Keenan Allen in the offseason. Not to spoil anything here, but they get Rome Odunze with the 9th pick. We'll talk about him a little more in a second. Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. You just have such a strong supporting cast for him to produce right away. So his immediate fantasy impact could be similar to what we saw from CJ Stroud last year with the Texans. And that was a low-end QB1. Despite the fact that Stroud doesn't really give you a ton of rushing production. So Williams, my projection for him, it might even be conservative because when you look at his situation, if he hits the ground running, this is a guy that could put up top 10, top 12 numbers in his first season. And then from there, the sky's the limit. So right now, my 2024 projection for him, 3,849 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, which might be a little bit low. That's the one that I probably should bump up. 11 INTs with 323 rushing yards, which is not an insane amount. He's nowhere near the likes of the Lamar Jacksons or even a guy we're going to talk about in a second in Jaden Daniels, but he can give you enough rushing production like we see from, you know, let's say a Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, those kind of quarterbacks where they give you, you know, 300 or so yards, which is a nice boost to their fantasy stock. And I also have him projected for 3 touchdowns on the ground as well. In terms of his redraft ranking, QB 14 right now for me, though I could see that moving up a little higher. His dynasty startup value and Superflex, I think he deserves to be a late first round pick. I think he should be going in that first round, though I've seen him slip to the second in some drafts. And his dynasty rookie value and Superflex is the 101, though at the same time, I've seen some Superflex drafts where Marvin Harrison goes above him. I think that's a mistake. I think you're going to get more value if you take Williams with that first overall pick, or at least try to trade down at least a spot or two and get a little more value if you are going to go with Harrison. I think you could drop down and grab either Harrison or Neighbors or Odunze or someone like that if you're dead set on getting a receiver. But regardless, in my mind, Williams is the 101 in those rookie drafts. In terms of whose stock is up and whose stock is down, of course, the receivers here, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, I think somebody like DeAndre Swift is going to benefit from having Caleb Williams under center as well. And whose stock is down because of the Caleb Williams move? No one. But when we get to Rome Odunze, we will talk about some of these Bears skill position players that are going to be hurt a little bit by that. with the second pick overall. Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders, and we saw Washington flirt with a bunch of quarterbacks, but overall, the vast majority of the beat writers, of the national reporters, they kept pointing to Daniels being the pick here for the Commanders. And he's 23 years old, coming off an absolutely monster season at LSU, threw for over 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, also rushed for over 1,100 yards and had 10 scores on the ground. And Washington might not have like the same dynamic duo in terms of their pass catching talent as he had last year when you look at, you know, having Neighbors and having Brian Thomas Jr. as his receivers at LSU. But you look at Daniels, his rushing skills alone are going to make him a strong fantasy option. And if he can acclimate quickly into this system, offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, he has some experience bringing in a young quarterback and letting him learn and letting him produce. I think Daniels could erupt. I mean, the passing accuracy is there, especially downfield, and it's going to put defenses into a really tough position because they're going to have to game plan against Terry McLaurin and maybe Jahan Dotson if he can get going again. I'm a little bit skeptical about him now, but if we can see that downfield game get going here and you combine that with the dangerous dual threat ability that Daniels brings, it's going to be really good for Washington. And this is going to be something that fantasy managers are going to want to be all over, because if he can get out there and start to add those passing stats to what is going to be obvious rushing production, this is a guy, and we've seen it before, when we have these rushing quarterbacks, he could very quickly get up into the top 12, top 15. Now, for Daniels' 2024 projection, I have him at 15 starts right now. I think the way that he plays is going to put him at risk of getting injured. So I have him for 3,023 passing yards, 16 passing touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 719 rushing yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, and 9 fumbles as well. I won't mention the fumbles for all these quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks coming in. There tends to be some ball security issues for a lot of them, so I always factor in some fumbles there based on what we've seen from them in college and what we've seen from, you know, similar players to them coming out and what they did in their rookie season, some of the comps that they might have. So that's the situation for Daniels there. Now, in terms of his redraft ranking, I have him at QB 16, but I think that could move up. Dynasty startup value in Superflex, second round pick right now for me. Dynasty rookie value for Superflex, it's going to be the 102 to the 104. He should be going in that range, just depending on your need. I still have him as the third pick in my rankings, but once again, I will have those updated soon, and you'll be able to check that out. In terms of fantasy stock up, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Zach Ertz, all of these guys are going to benefit from the new quarterback there. A stock down, nobody. It's going to be a great pick that they have him, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do in Washington. Now, it's not all rosy. Drake May, he is the unfortunate one. He drew the short straw and ended up going to the Patriots with the third pick, and they were reportedly open to trading down. In the end, they hold on to it. They invest in the future. Hopefully this time they can get their franchise guy, and they think that it's May. Now, he has the potential to be that franchise quarterback, but he is landing in one of the worst spots for a fantasy QB. You know, New England, they just lack high-end pass-catching weapons, and you have a 21-year-old prospect who I think still needs to develop a little bit before he's going to emerge as a strong NFL starter, and we're going to have to hope that his natural playmaking ability is going to help him kind of keep things going here until he gets comfortable in the pros. And you think back to some other guys, you know, some people want to comp him to a Josh Allen. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but when you think about what Allen did in his first year, came out, ran around quite a bit, and May can do that as well, ran around quite a bit to kind of buy himself time to keep the offense moving while he was getting more comfortable as a passer. That's what May is going to have to do. And when you look back, I mean, Allen didn't have great weapons early on. The Bills did a good job of getting him those pieces over the years, but early on in that first rookie season, wasn't a ton of talent around him. And May is unfortunately going to fall into a situation like that. So he's an intriguing fantasy player. I just wouldn't expect significant production from him right away. I think he's best viewed as a dynasty asset, and he's a guy that is going to have his stock fall a bit based on the landing spot. Now, in terms of his 2024 projection, 17 starts, 3,437 passing yards, 15 passing touchdowns, 14 INTs, 406 rushing yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. Right now in redraft, I have him as the QB 25. His dynasty startup value is a fourth round pick. His dynasty rookie value is sort of the 105 to the 108. And there is a quarterback that has moved ahead of him just because he has a better landing spot than May does. We'll get to him in a moment. In terms of fantasy stock up and down, Demario Douglas up, Kendrick Bourne up, Hunter Henry up, Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson. And that's just because they're getting a quarterback that could elevate this offense if everything goes right. But the stock down situation is May and Jacoby Brissett are both going to see their stock fall. Brissett, because he had a chance to be the starter. Maybe we'll still see him get a start or two early in the season. But normally, when a team picks a rookie quarterback this early, they're going to be out there in week one or shortly after that. And for May, because of this landing spot, like I said, that's why we're going to bump him down a little bit. Now, number four overall, the Cardinals took Marvin Harrison Jr., and they were pretty fortunate that the teams ahead of them needed quarterback, because Harrison Jr. just falls right into their hands, and receiver also happened to be Arizona's biggest need. Now they have this elite prospect and a guy who has a Hall of Fame father in his corner. I mean, Harrison was a prolific college wideout. He managed to produce with multiple quarterbacks under center over his years at Ohio State. You love to see that. And he's a guy that just has the talent and the production profile and the pedigree and the draft capital. Now, everything is pointing towards him becoming a superstar. And he lands in Arizona, where they're going to give him a ton of volume. That should make him a fantasy wide receiver too right away. I wouldn't be surprised if he is very quickly mentioned alongside of Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb and some of the top wideouts in the league. I think he has that kind of talent. We're going to see him be a great player in the NFL for a long time. His 2024 projection, 81 receptions, 1,127 receiving yards, and 6 touchdowns. That makes him the redraft wide receiver 24 for me. Dynasty startup value, he is a second round pick. Dynasty rookie value, he can go anywhere from the 102 to the 104. I'd be shocked if he went any lower than that. And in terms of fantasy stock up, we're looking at Kyler Murray going up, gets a great weapon at receiver, helps that receiving core too. Michael Wilson was an intriguing rookie last year. Greg Dorsch, we know somebody that could step into the slot, and maybe he'll get his chance to finally be a full-time player and produce. And Trey McBride at tight end is the only loser here. And it's not that he's not going to still be a good fantasy tight end, but he was in a position like he was at the end of last year where he could have been the de facto number one option in this passing game. But now you bring in Harrison, who's going to take that over. So McBride, still solid, but I don't know that he's going to have a shot to be that number one overall tight end this year. I think he drops just a little bit because of it. Malik Nabers was the second receiver off the board. He went to the Giants with the 6th pick overall, and I think he would have been the first receiver in most draft classes, but unfortunately, this year he had to contest with Harrison Jr., who was just a bit of a safer pick, I think, or at least NFL teams viewed him that way. And the Giants, it's not great news for Nabers that he's going to go to a team that has sort of an uncertain quarterback situation. I mean, you love for Marvin Harrison Jr. that he is going to go and get to play with Kyler Murray. Nabers, not as lucky there, but he is going to see so much volume in New York. It's going to help offset those quarterback issues, especially if Darren Waller retires. Plus, New York has been stockpiling these mediocre receivers for the last couple seasons. There's not really anyone that is going to contest him for that massive target share. So it's going to be very exciting to see Nabers just hit the ground running, go wild in this Giants offense. He's going to turn 21 in July. He's still 20 right now. He's got game-breaking speed, outstanding quickness. I mean, his agility, his movement skills, his run after catch, all very, very strong. Just an extremely high ceiling for him as a wideout. And Harrison Jr., Nabers, I think they're both going to be top 24 fantasy receivers in year one. And I think Nabers, like Harrison Jr., is going to be mentioned as one of the best wideouts in the NFL within a couple of years. Now, for his projection for 2024, 84 receptions, 1,109 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. His redraft ranking is wide receiver 28. His dynasty startup value is a third round pick. His dynasty rookie value is the 103 to the 105, depending on which teams are going to need quarterbacks in there. The fantasy stock up here It is good news for Daniel Jones. Now, whether that's going to allow Jones to come into his own and hang on to that job in New York, we don't know about that yet, but it certainly helps that he's going to have a true number one receiver. Fantasy stock down, Darius Slayton, who has kind of been the de facto top wideout for New York for a little while, he's going to get usurped now by Neighbors. And Wandale Robinson is someone that I think, you know, is going to need a lot of volume. He's dealt with injuries since he got into the league, hasn't really panned out. And now that you have Neighbors there, that's just going to bump him down the pecking order. The next pick is Michael Penix Jr. going to the Falcons, 8th overall, by far the biggest surprise of the opening round. I mean, selecting a rookie quarterback who is now going to sit behind Kirk Cousins for the foreseeable future. I don't care that they didn't tell Cousins that this was going to happen. I'm not worried about that kind of stuff, but I'm worried about the fact that you have a team that could contend. You go out, you spend big money to get yourself that quarterback in Kirk Cousins. You spend all these first round picks in recent years on that talent around him, having Bijan Robinson, having Kyle Pitts and Drake London. You sign Darnell Mooney. You have a very exciting offense. And instead of adding to that or getting an impact player, you could have gotten the best defensive player in the draft, 8th overall, because of all these offensive guys that were going. Instead of that, you kind of spend this pick on the future. And this makes me think that they only envision Kirk Cousins being a starter there for 2, maybe 3 years. I don't think that this pick would happen if they thought Cousins was going to play that full 4-year contract. And I know what the GM and the coach are saying, and they're trying to defend it by saying that, you know, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years and Cousins is still out there, then that means they're getting great quarterback play and that would be a good problem to have. And I know that they're sort of modeling this after what Green Bay did, where they had Aaron Rodgers and they go out and they get Jordan Love. I don't need to harp on this too much because everyone is going to be talking about it. But Jordan Love was a pick later in the first round. He was not the 8th overall pick. And you could make a strong argument that the Packers made a mistake there, that if they spent that first round pick on a defensive player, on somebody else that could make an impact right away, that maybe that would have got Green Bay over the hump and they actually would have been able to contend or win a Super Bowl and not get knocked out in the playoffs before that. I know it has kind of worked out. Jordan Love looked good last year, looked like he could be the franchise quarterback there and continue that run that the Packers have had. So there is logic to this pick, but it has to be viewed as a mistake right now because you have a team that could win that division, that could contend, and now they just have what could be a solid backup quarterback. But Penix Jr., like I said on the podcast, I didn't view him anywhere near the top 4. I thought he deserved to be either a late first round pick or maybe even a second round pick. So for him to go 8th overall to a team that seemed set at quarterback, just a very questionable decision. And I mean, this could be an excellent succession plan. It could work out years down the road and keep the Falcons franchise from getting back into the situation that they were in over the last couple of years where they just couldn't get a QB to run their offense. But it's a curious move for a team that appeared like they were going to contend this season. And it's tough for Penix Jr. I mean, he's getting a lot of hate online now. It's not his fault by any means. Like I said, I'm not worried about Kirk Cousins' feelings and if he's bothered by this in the same way that I wasn't worried that Aaron Rodgers was that upset by the Packers taking Love. I think it's a foolish choice by their GM, but we'll see how this pans out. But fantasy-wise, we don't know when he is going to take the field. So he might sneak into the late first round of Dynasty rookie drafts, you know, based on draft capital here for Penix. But I would project him to be more of a second round value just because you're going to have that delayed production. So no 2024 projection for him unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt. We're not going to see Penix take the field. Redraft ranking really doesn't matter. He's outside of the top 32 quarterbacks now. His dynasty startup value, I have him in the 9th round, and part of that is because you're going to have to sit on him for a while, and his dynasty rookie value, like I said, more of a second round pick. Fantasy stock up and stock down really doesn't impact anyone here because it's a move that's being made for several years down the road. Roma Dunze going to the Bears 9th, like we already talked about. So for this, I mean, the Bears are doing everything right to help Caleb Williams. And maybe they learned from the Justin Fields situation where they really didn't give him enough weapons to work with, but not going to be a problem for Caleb Williams. He is going to have an excellent trio of receivers. And it's not just that he's going to have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Adunze out there. It's that it insulates him. If one of those guys gets hurt, misses some time, it's going to be okay. You still have two quality options there, including Cole Kmet at tight end and DeAndre Swift in the backfield. So you have this excellent offense around him, so much to work with. And truly, the only problem here is going to be for Odunze, that he is going to have to play behind these volume hogs in Moore and Keenan Allen, and that's going to hurt him right away. Think about what happened to Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year, right? A talented wideout, but he goes to a team where they already have two quality veterans, and it sort of delays his potential breakout. So for Odunze to really hit as a rookie, it's probably going to require an injury to one of those other two receivers. But even if that doesn't happen, Odunze should be able to produce as a wide receiver for flex as long as Caleb Williams is able to produce. That's important, but I'm pretty confident that's going to happen. And I think eventually we're going to see Odunze turn into one of Williams' favorite weapons. So for 2024, I'm projecting Odunze for 62 receptions, 837 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. Not as high as it would have been if he ended up somewhere else where he could have been the number one guy. A redraft ranking, that makes him the wide receiver 42. Dynasty startup value is a 4th round pick. His dynasty rookie value, you're probably going to see him go off the board 105 to 108. And I would make a case for him being closer to the 105 or 106 than to the 108 there. Fantasy stock up, of course, is Caleb Williams, and fantasy stock down, I think Cole Kmet is going to be the biggest loser here, because he could have continued to produce as maybe the third option in that passing game. Now he's going to be bumped down to 4th or 5th. Keenan Allen takes a little bit of a hit, and then Odunze, like we're talking about, in the short term, it's going to depress his value just a bit. J.J. McCarthy goes to the Vikings. They did have to move up one spot to get him. They got him 10th overall, but they get to sort of stay pretty low down the board, not having to move up into the top three and still getting a guy that could step in and be their starting quarterback this season. And it's kind of nice to see a team resist that temptation to make a big move up. It reminds me of what the Bills did when they got Josh Allen, that they didn't go all the way up to get him. They played it smart. They bided their time, and they were able to make a smaller move up and draft him. Now, McCarthy, a lot of people are big fans. You know, we had Thor Nystrom, a Fantasy Pros, on Monday to talk about him. He did like a 10-minute monologue just raving about McCarthy and hoping that he goes to the Vikings, since Thor is a Vikings fan. So we're excited to see that come through for him. Now we have a 21-year-old who could be this replacement for Kirk Cousins in that Vikings offense, and it is a very excellent spot for fantasy production. When you're talking about a good fantasy environment, McCarthy has landed in it. You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones, TJ Hawkinson whenever he's healthy. You have a good offensive line. You have Kevin O'Connell calling plays. McCarthy is dropped into one of the best situations of any quarterback in the class. And he actually said that of the quarterbacks he talked to, of the prospects in the lead up to the draft, that a lot of them were saying that Minnesota was the place that they would like to end up just because of all the talent around him. So given their landing spots, I think McCarthy has a better chance of finding early success than May does. And if McCarthy can capture some of that magic that Kirk Cousins had in this Minnesota offense, it's possible that he could be a top 20 fantasy QB as a rookie, maybe even higher, and he's got plenty of room to grow. So I like McCarthy over May in redraft and dynasty now. His 2024 projection, have him at 17 starts, 3,686 passing yards, 18 passing touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 174 rushing yards with 1 rushing touchdown. Redraft ranking is just ahead of May at QB 24. His dynasty startup value is a 4th round pick. Dynasty rookie value, he'll be somewhere from 105 to 108. And fantasy stock up, McCarthy is up because of the landing spot. Jefferson, Aaron Jones, Addison, Hawkinson, they get a quarterback. They don't have to go into the season and play with Sam Darnold. And guess what? Fantasy stock down, Sam Darnold is that guy, because his chance at starting this year went up in smoke when McCarthy's name got called. Now, the Broncos, they were also one of the teams that needed a quarterback. They were picking 12th, and they decided to just go ahead and take Bo Nix. And I kind of get it. I mean, 5 quarterbacks were already off the board. I don't think the Broncos were willing to risk leaving this draft without a potential starter. So they overpaid a bit, and they got Nix. And he's a 24-year-old. He's got a ton of experience. you know, the numbers and the performances might have been improved because of that favorable system at Oregon the last couple of years. Whether he can find similar success in the pros under Sean Payton in Denver, I think that's going to be a really interesting storyline to watch for in 2024. I have my doubts. I don't think it's going to end well for the Broncos. I think they really overpaid here. And I don't think that you're going to need to worry about Nix in normal redraft leagues, though he is going to have some value as a late first round dynasty rookie selection. I wouldn't get my hopes up. Not somebody that I want to have to invest in here, but if you need a quarterback, he could be a guy that you look at in the late first round in rookie drafts. For his 2024 projection, I have 3,048 passing yards, 15 passing touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 219 rushing yards, and like I said, a handful of fumbles there as well. A redraft ranking is QB 30, so pretty low. Dynasty startup value is down around an 8th round pick. Dynasty rookie value is going to go in the 109 to 201 range, in my opinion. Fantasy stock up, it's great for Bo Nix. He's going to step into an offense where they desperately need a starter, so he's going to get his chance. Fantasy stock down, Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham, their potential starting role is now gone. We thought we might have an interesting camp battle between those two guys. Now this is going to be Nix's job to lose. Brock Bowers, very interested to see where he was going to go in the draft. Did not expect that it was going to be to the Raiders, 13th overall. And I wonder if the Raiders were just left in a situation where they thought they were going to be able to take one of these quarterbacks. A shocking 6 quarterbacks go off the board in the first 12 picks, and then they're left scrambling and they just take the top talent on their board. So anybody hoping that Michael Mayer, who was a promising tight end prospect that they had, if you thought he was going to have a potential sophomore breakout, not going to happen now for him. You know, they're spending a first round pick and high draft capital to get this meaningful elite tight end prospect in Bowers. And there's a case to be made that Bowers is a more versatile pass catcher and shouldn't just be viewed exclusively as a tight end. Either way, he's joining an offense now that has strong receivers and Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers, but serious quarterback questions. And there is no one left in the draft who you could just see the Raiders go and get and plug into this spot. I know some people like Spencer Rattler. I don't think Spencer Rattler is going to be the answer here. So you're looking at Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. They're going to have to battle it out for this job. And that makes it a less than ideal landing spot for somebody who is a very promising talent like Bowers. And it's probably going to cap his fantasy production in the early part of his NFL career and prevent him from really challenging the players at the top of his position in the early going. Thankfully, it doesn't take that much to crack the top 12 fantasy tight ends, and I think Bowers still has a shot to do that. So my redraft ranking for him is tight end 12. My 2024 projection, 64 receptions, over 800 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns. His dynasty startup value, 4th round pick. His dynasty rookie value, another name that's going to go in that 105 to 108 range. Fantasy stock up, it's got to be the quarterbacks, Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. They get another weapon to work with, but more importantly, the Raiders don't take a quarterback in round 1, which still gives them a shot, one of them, whoever wins that battle, to get the starting role in 2024. And fantasy stock down, of course, it's Michael Mayer. A few more to go over here. So Brian Thomas Jr., the Jaguars, they let Calvin Ridley go in the offseason. He signs a big deal and ends up with a division rival in the Titans. You figure that they had a need at receiver. They ended up falling down a bit in the draft. They picked up some extra picks. They go down to 23 and still get a guy who can come in and be a starting wideout for them in Thomas Jr. And it's really a nice spot for him. I mean, he brings like the exact kind of field stretching, big play ability that could take this offense to another level. And he's a guy that just has an outstanding size speed combination. That's what's going to catch your eye initially, but there is a lot more to be unlocked in his game. He's kind of a raw prospect still. He's 21 years old. I think he's going to quickly become one of Trevor Lawrence's favorite targets, and he's got the potential to be a long-term number one option in the Jags passing attack if his skills can continue to evolve. And I think he was a little bit overshadowed by neighbors during his time at LSU, but believe me, at one point in the pre-draft process, I had Brian Thomas right up there with Rome Odunze, very, very close. And I think in year 1 now, based on their landing spots, we're going to see Thomas outproduce him in redraft. Now, I would still take Odunze in rookie drafts and dynasty leagues. I still would rather have him long term, but just for 2024, Thomas is going to be right there competing with him for who could have better production. So I would consider Thomas Jr. a wide receiver 4 flex with a ton of upside this year and moving forward. His 2024 projection, 56 receptions, 824 receiving yards, and 5 touchdowns. His redraft ranking, wide receiver 41. Dynasty startup value, he's a 5th round pick. And dynasty rookie value, he'll be going in the 108 to 110 range. Stock up here, pretty obvious. Trevor Lawrence gets another weapon. Brian Thomas Jr. gets a nice landing spot. Fantasy stock down, it's going to hurt just a little bit. Christian Kirk, it's going to hurt. Evan Ingram, it's just another set of hands to compete with. And guys like Zay Jones and Parker Washington might actually get the bigger hit here because they would have had a chance to be the number 2 receiver, really the number 3 pass catcher behind Kirk and Evan Ingram. But now Thomas is going to fill that role and maybe even more. Next up, Xavier Worthy goes to the Chiefs, 28th overall. The Bills were the ones who were supposed to be picking here. They talked about the fact that they didn't think that there was 28 first round values on the board. I guess when it got to their pick, none of those guys that they had given a first round grade were still available. So they move out. But if I'm the Bills, I'm not sure that I even answer the phone when the Chiefs call. We know what happened with Patrick Mahomes back in the day. The Chiefs move up into the Bills spot and they select Mahomes. Fortunately, it also worked out for Buffalo that they were able to get Josh Allen and find a franchise quarterback of their own. But still, Buffalo, knowing that this is one of your biggest rivals, if not your biggest rival, the optics of it look terrible. Regardless, Buffalo picks up some added value, some extra picks that they can use to hopefully find a couple players to fill in some of the voids that were left by all the veterans that they had to cut loose this offseason. But for the Chiefs, they get another weapon for Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, Rashee Rice, he has that suspension looming. Travis Kelce's not getting any younger. Kansas City now adds another speedster to join their free agent acquisition, Marquise Brown, who already was showing up and going to add speed to this offense. And considering the Chiefs won a Super Bowl this year when their only real outside weapon was a rookie in Rice who didn't really come on until later in the season, now they're going to field a quality 3 receiver set in addition to Kelce at tight end. Very scary for what's in store this season when it comes to the Chiefs potentially dominating en route to another Super Bowl victory. But regardless, Worthy, he had that blistering 40-yard dash time at the combine. Now he's the new connection here with Mahomes. Likely means to me that he's going to be overvalued in year one, but there is a realistic chance that he becomes a really meaningful part of Kansas City's offense. I would rather have Odunze and Thomas over him in terms of these rookie wideouts coming out. Obviously, Harrison Jr. and Neighbors, of course, those guys are a little bit ahead of this group, but Worthy much closer in value now to the Odunzes and Thomas than he was before this draft. So it's a great landing spot for him. His 2024 projection, 54 receptions, 794 receiving yards, and 4 touchdowns. But that'll be dependent on Rice's suspension and what we hear moving forward. A redraft ranking, wide receiver 49. Lots of room for improvement on that, though. Dynasty startup value for me is a 6th round pick. Dynasty rookie value, I think he's going to go in the 109 to 111 range. Fantasy stock up. Sad to say it, but Patrick Mahomes just keeps moving up. And Xavier Worthy for the nice landing spot for him. Fantasy stock down. Don't love this for Marquise Hollywood Brown. He's a guy that has kind of struggled to really have a monster season. And now he's just going to have more target competition. So as excited as we were about him going to Kansas City, this puts a bit of a damper on that. Just a couple more picks to talk about here. Ricky Pearsall goes to the 49ers, 31st overall. Very odd investment for the 49ers on the surface. Unless all these rumors that we're hearing about them trading either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel are true. For the time being, we have to evaluate Pearsall with the current roster in mind, and that really doesn't leave much room for fantasy stats, right? Ayuk, Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, they only leave kind of scraps for the rest of the 49ers skill position players. And Pearsall isn't talented enough to really overtake any of those guys without an injury. Probably would require two injuries to that group of four guys before you would think that Pearsall would attain any real fantasy relevance as a rookie, unless, again, a trade occurs. And that continues to be talked about. I mean, we could see it happen on day two here. I've been quietly hoping that the Bills make a move to get Ayuk. I don't think that's actually going to happen. I also don't think T. Higgins is going to get moved to the Bills. A lot of my friends are messaging me asking if that's going to happen. I don't think T. Higgins is going to get traded to a conference rival. So I think for the Bills, if you're looking at them getting a number one receiver, it would have to be Ayuk or, I guess, potentially Debo. But Debo's contract really would make me think that he's not the guy that the 49ers are going to move. They would take a pretty big cap hit, I believe, if Debo was the one that got traded. That said, I mean, draft capital, landing spot, Pearsall is an intriguing asset in dynasty formats. Could make him worthy of an early second round pick now, given the draft capital. So I like Pearsall as a potential talent down the road. And maybe if we get a trade in the next day or two or before the season, he's somebody that we'll be a little more interested in for 2024. Right now, his projection doesn't even warrant mentioning: 21 receptions, 293 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. But that's assuming that everyone remains on the 49ers roster. Redraft ranking makes him the wide receiver 83. Dynasty startup value, a 9th round pick, and a guy that you might have to wait on if they don't trade one of their top receivers. Dynasty rookie value, looking at 112 to 204. Again, he would be in the conversation, sort of 109 to 111 if Ayuk or Debo get moved. Fantasy stock up for the time being, Ricky Pearsall. If the 49ers trade a receiver, fantasy stock down, Juwan Jennings, Ronnie Bell, the other receivers who are going to try to compete for the number three spot in that offense. Looks like Pearsall has that locked down. And then with the final pick of the round, this is where the Bills actually move back to, but then they trade out again. They get the first pick in the second round, and the Panthers move up one spot to get Xavier Leggett. And in the lead up to the draft, he told reporters that the Panthers had actually promised to take him if he was available at the start of the second round with their pick. Turns out they didn't want to wait. They move back into the first round. They lock him down. A strong, fast wideout. He's got reliable hands. Not somebody that I was overly excited for, but the need for help at receiver in Carolina was evident. You have Adam Thielen turning 34 this summer. Jonathan Mingo failing to make his mark as a rookie. Leggett is going to try to earn that number two role alongside Deontay Johnson in an offense that we have some renewed hope about thanks to the arrival of head coach Dave Canales and what he's done in his previous stop. So fantasy managers, I think you should keep your expectations in check for Leggett. A one-year wonder in college, guy who still has a long way to go in his development. So for me, 2024 projection, 39 receptions, 568 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. His redraft ranking, wide receiver 65. Dynasty startup value is a 9th round pick. Dynasty rookie value, I think he's going to go early second round, so 201 to 204. Fantasy stock up, Bryce Young continues to move up this offseason. The hiring of Canales, some of the moves they made in the offensive line, going out and getting Deontay Johnson, now investing in receiver here again. I like that for him. Still don't think that Young is going to move up and be a fantasy starter in one quarterback leagues, but somebody that now we could at least envision a scenario where he could become kind of fantasy relevant again. You hope that for him. He's a very, very talented young quarterback. A fantasy stock down, Jonathan Mingo. This puts a bit of a nail in his coffin, unfortunately, because Leggett's a similar player and he'll come in with a blank slate. And then Adam Thielen, I don't think he's going to come anywhere near the numbers he put up last year, and that has a lot to do with Johnson being there, but they're kind of getting ready for the future, and Thielen probably not going to be around much longer. Now, that is all for the first round. Like I mentioned, the Bills have the first pick in the second round, so can't wait for that to get started. Before we get you out of here, though, let's just quickly run through some of the top players who are still on the board, the exciting fantasy names that you're going to want to watch to see where they land. For quarterbacks, not a lot of guys that I care much about. Spencer Rattler is one name where maybe he could develop into something somewhere, but none of these guys are going to come in and take over a starting job. So Spencer Rattler still out there. Michael Pratt, Joe Milton, Jordan Travis, Sam Hartman. Really, when you see quarterbacks go outside of the first round, like I've talked about before, we remember the names that go on to become stars and become Pro Bowlers, but the hit rate for quarterbacks outside of the first round is very, very low. Running backs, we haven't seen one come off the board yet. So Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson and Jalen Wright and Blake Corum and Braylon Allen and Marshawn Lloyd and Ray Davis and all of the guys who we talked about in the lead up are still out there and lots of landing spots available. Number one that we're watching for is who the Cowboys take. And there's a lot of things tying them to Jonathan Brooks. So we'll see if that ends up coming true. At receiver, the Bills with that first pick in the second round, they might be looking wide out. Adee Mitchell is there. Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin. There are still a bunch of quality wideouts, and that's why the Bills moving down could turn out to be a smart move, but they really have to hit on someone in the second or maybe the third round or go out and make a trade for somebody like a Brandon Ayuk. And then at tight end, Jatavion Sanders, Ben Sano, Theo Johnson, Brock Bowers, the only one who's off the board so far. So still a lot of intriguing names out there at tight end as well. But that is all for today's show. So make sure you check out my full column from round one over at The Score. I'll have another column up tonight after round three. Should be really interesting to see where some of the receivers go, you know, when the running backs finally start coming off the board. And then if I have time, I'll record another recap podcast like this one for round two and round three. That would go up tomorrow morning. But regardless, I will be working on all the updates that I talked about, the rankings, the trade value charts, updated depth charts too, which will come out on Sunday. So until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening, and we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby, said leave on time. Leave on time.